Well, a very good evening to you, wherever you may be listening from. Donal Barry with you this evening on Terrace Talk, right up until 8 o'clock as we delve back into this weekend's action in the Garvey Super Value County Championship Round 1 games. That's right, we're back into the real stuff. We chat to Christy Connell as the Kerry GAA face another big night at the Kingdom Greyhound Stadium, and all that, of course, is in the first hour. And then just after 7 o'clock this evening, something really, really special, and make sure you stay with us, we catch up with Curran's own Jack Daly. I'm going to ask him to say Daly or Dolly, because people were battling over that in the office. And he himself is battling back from injury, of course, ahead of Munster's new season. And from 7:30 we catch up with one of Kerry's most successful small rural clubs. Well, that's a title that a lot of small rural clubs could have, but certainly this gang will be up there in the top anyway, and they're battling for their survival. And we're going to chat to Eamon Breen, yes, absolutely, Eamon Breen and Jimmy Deanham. So now we know we're going to Finuig and all the hard work that is going on out there to keep that small rural club going and the struggles that they have day by day. And I think that's going to be particular interest to an awful lot of people out there, particularly a lot of supporters of J clubs and maybe even other clubs as well, particularly I suppose with the ever decreasing numbers starting, I suppose, at J, particularly in rural areas. So stay tuned for all that. Now, as ever, if you have a comment on anything that we have on tonight's show or something that have eked you, I suppose, over the weekend, you can get in touch on 066 712 3666. You can text us on 083 300 3300. You can leave a voice note if you want. Ivan will pick that up for you if you don't want to come on the air and you just want to give us an old shout. Ivan, of course, is on the phone tonight, and we have a new man on the sound desk tonight. That's Ryan. Hello, Ryan. Fair play to you. He's filling in for Keane. Keane will be back on his holidays all 10 shortly, I'd imagine. And speaking of all good things, we have two sound men of our own here in the studio, Liam Brosnan and John Kennedy, and they're going to be looking back over all eight games, not a lot of football. Well, lads, it's great to be back. The last time we were together, of course, Sam was coming home and we were admiring all the unity amongst the players, and now that they've all been sent back to their tribes, they're told to do a battle for their parishes, and each Monday night, of course, after each of the rounds, we'll have the boys inside here and they'll be marking your cards ahead of the next round of games as well. Lads, 8 games, 7 wins, a draw, a big win for Dingle. East Kerry put up a big score without David Clifford, of course, and Austin Staxey off their neighbours Nagale. Just some of the highlights over the weekend. Before we get into the stuff, Liam, welcome back. Obviously you're looking fine and fit and championship ready. A highlight over the weekend for you, something that you spotted that said, yeah, do you know, that's good, that was a good performance, something, because the background to this is that at the end of our championship we're going to put the 15 top highlights in, and we're going to leave our friends here who listen to Radio Kerry pick one. So you're going to get pick one, John's going to pick one, I'm going to throw one in as well, and we'll have 15 by the end of the 5 rounds, and who knows, you know, your one might even win, you never know.
Well, I suppose, look, from a game that probably was fairly one-sided, one of the games, probably the only game that was really one-sided was Dingle and Spaw. I suppose when you look through the scores, you had the 4 Ganeys, you know, they're cousins and they're all that. They had 3-7 between the four of them. So I think that's worth to mention after this weekend. I think as we call it, the Ganey show between Dingle and Spaw. Yeah,
no show like a Ganey show.
No show like a Ganey show, and absolutely, they put on a show the weekend.
Absolutely, and we'll talk about that show, of course, later on. Yeah, absolutely. You're going to go strong for the Dingle vote already. Fair play, John Kennedy. Something that stood out over the weekend for you from the 8 games.
I suppose, Donald, before there was a ball kicked in the championship, people were talking about East Kerry, and the signs are ominous, as they say. What a demolition job the weekend without David Clifford. Going to be very difficult to beat. Fantastic performance. And against, you know, a Cairns O'Reilly side missing a few lads that have gone away, but at the same time, seasoned campaigners. So a huge victory for them, and they've sent out the warning signs already, just with one game gone in the championship. Fantastic performance by East Kerry.
Jesus, you're going to get some votes with 10 clubs inside in East Kerry for your highlight. I'm going to go for one as well. I'm going to go a small bit left field, and I'm going to mention Martin Stack, Field Rangers. I think of all the performances throughout the weekend, we're going to talk about inter-county players and fellas kind of stepping up to the mark, and fellas that we haven't heard before either. But I mean, he scored 11 points, 8 from play. That's a fantastic achievement. And you know, it's funny how things go. We were talking last week that Field Rangers might even struggle in the championship. They're top of their table already with the draw, of course, with South Kerry. So Martin Stack, if you're out there, from Myven and Field Rangers and the whole lot, we'll put you in there as well. So you'll be 3 of the 15. So the gain is the whole of East Kerry and Martin Sack on his own. Jesus, Martin, I hope you have a lot of votes out there. Let's go back to the rounds. Four groups. I suppose it's different this year. I suppose it's exciting as Champions League. We were here tonight. The draws were being made. We were looking for a bit of reaction. It's amazing how fast it kind of comes around again. Liam, Group 1. It's a group with Kinmare Shamrocks and Shan Rangers, of course. And it's also got Dr. Crokes and St. Cairns. Talk to us about the games, I suppose, in general. I suppose we would have probably predicted that Kinmare and Dr. Crokes would probably come out on top. Those games panned out the way they should have had?
They did, Donal. And probably the St. Cairns probably performances probably just like a district team, really. They're not the first game, bit rustiness. When they drew Crokes, we were all kind of saying, look, we never fear Crokes, because I suppose, look, there's a lot of East Kerry teams in St. Cairns, and we'd be used to playing each other down through the years. But and Crokes always got nothing easy from a St. Cairns team. But I suppose the weekend, they probably, even though the score doesn't show it, it probably was a lot easier. I think Sean O'Kiwan had a fantastic game in goals. Could have been a lot worse. But look, this Crokes team seems to be a team that's rebuilding. There's a lot of young guys there. You know, Mark Fitz, Niall O'Shea, you know, Keen McMahon, who really stood out. I think he's one for the future. You're throwing the likes of Tony Rastlin. They were able to bring in Dahi Casey off the bench then, and Kieran O'Leary. You know, so Crokes aren't gone anywhere, really. They kicked 2-14, and there's probably a little bit more in them, and maybe with one or two fellas come back from injury. I know their two main boys, they're saying they're gone for the year, Michal Burns and Gavin, which are huge losses for them. But there's a lot of teams out there in the same predicament, you know. But it just gives an opportunity for another guy to step up, and I think the younger guys step up to the plate. Like Mike Potts had, he was a guy that I think, John, we've been watching down through the years, and I think the weekend was probably one of his better games that we've seen in a long time. So that's a bonus for Crokes. So yeah, Kieran's. No, I suppose when you're playing in the lower divisions as well, I think when you look at district teams, I think when it comes to championship and the vital points, I think it's very important for, you know, for teams, if they're, you'll see the club players that are playing high division in county leagues, because they're just that little bit quicker. And I think Kieran's probably, the next game will probably be that little bit better.
Yeah, speaking of a guy that was a little bit quicker, John, you were at the game in Clarny, Kinmare and Shannon Rangers. If you had taken Stephen O'Brien out of it, Shannon Rangers were well in this game.
Yeah, Donal, and you know, you spoke about Martin Stack and Field Rangers, great victory for them. A lot of negativity about North Kerry football over the last number of years. Field Rangers, great victory, you know, played very well, a lot of good work done by the lads. But the Shannon Rangers team, you know, checkered build up, to being honest with you now, wondering, but you know, it shows the pride that's in the jersey. We had three of our own lads there, Owen Tidings and Goals and Martin Collins and Derek Keane. And I know from talking to him last night, like, you know, the disappointment of not winning, but the satisfaction of performing, rubbing shoulders with the best. Robert Stack, another man that impressed the young fella, you know, the Foleys. It was a great performance. With 12 or 15 minutes to go, Rangers were 2 points up. But the experience then, particularly Stephen O'Brien, as you said, you know, Danny Rinn, he'd been doing well on him. But Stephen, he really rose to the occasion.
He scored some super points.
Oh, super points. And you know, I don't care who was on him, they'd find it difficult to mark him. We're great admirers of him, Liam and myself. He's a fierce work rate, but yesterday he finished off 5 points from play. But you know, we'll question the standard maybe, but for competitiveness and for endeavour and really never say die attitude, you know, you'd be very proud being a Shannon Rangers man, being honest with you. But obviously Kinmare got over the line, but you know, it shows that there's a lot of people talking about joining up Shannon Rangers and Field Rangers. Maybe did the message come out the weekend that we want to keep our own identity and keep working away, and on the evidence of what we saw, fair play to them. And you know, great credit to Martin Mahoney and Kevin Welch and Cathal O'Connor, because they were under a lot of pressure, a lot of players missing. They circled the wagons, and they certainly put pride back into the jersey, even though we lost.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was pride, I suppose, in all fairness. I mean, we were watching the game. I mean, Kinmare were kind of motoring away in first gear, 4 points to two, 5 points to two. Came out in the second half, you know, they got the penalty, they got the point, they went ahead. And I suppose maybe they didn't have enough experience, I suppose, at playing at a higher level to kind of to push the thing on. But they certainly didn't surrender.
No, they didn't surrender. And you know, one of the highlights, I was sitting with a few lads from Kinmare and Timpleknow and Jason Foley and Shawnee Shea.
That's right.
It rolled back the years, like, of, you know, we're teammates, we're friends, but I can tell you for that 60 minutes
has the white line,
I want to mark you.
Yeah.
And Foley, in fairness to him, he did a tremendous job on one of the best footballers in the country and kept him scoreless from play.
And the other thing, and that Dawn, like, is that if you bring Knock Kerry together, which we probably will see eventually, now, would the John Ashdee's boys, would they have made the Knock Kerry team if there was one team? So it's given opportunities to guys to play a county championship. They can always say they play a county championship. So that's something that probably have to be thought of when everything is put into the mixing bowl as well. There is guys out there that...
We were working it out earlier that there was 270 players played a county championship at the weekend in all the teams coming on the subs and all that. Three of them were from SD. But they wouldn't get the chance.
No, probably absolutely.
If they got diluted into it.
Absolutely. And I think, Donald, it's not a night for talking about amalgamations and stuff at whatever level you're at. But you get the best out of what you have yourself. You keep that jersey on your back and you represent your own people. You're diluting that when you join up. And we've had great success at minors under 17s with Knock Kerry. Mm-hmm. Fantastic victory. But I think maybe because of numbers that had to happen, mm-hmm. there's plenty of numbers at senior level, is getting the good people involved. And I think there was progress made the weekend.
Yeah.
Great victory for the field. And, Shannon Rangers came out with their heads high, mm-hmm. and it moves on to the next round now.
And they go back to a club then with a spring in their step.
Well, talk about big numbers now. I suppose you were on about big numbers. Dingle 410. That's a decent score, Liam. And of course, it is one of your highlights already. I wouldn't have been surprised either way had Spa won that game
or Dingle
won that game. I am surprised
at the score. Yeah. I think we're all surprised with that score because they've met in the club and it went the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, we always thought it was going to be close, but it was probably close up to the 40th minute, and then Dingle usually do what Dingle can do. They can get goals. And I was on the thing of that a couple of years ago when I was a selector with St. Kieran's. Paul Ganey had three goals gone in 5 minutes, and that was game over. And they did the same thing yesterday. And it was the Ganey show. But when you look at Dingle, they have Barry Sullivan, Matthew Flaherty, Tom Sullivan, Tom Leo. These guys, when they click,
have Dingle underachieved? Have they been the most underachieving club in the last number of years?
Oh, they have, with the players they have, and with everything. And they have a fantastic structure, and their management teams and their selectors, the whole lot. They know the football, but they just seem to, on the kind of the big occasion, maybe slip a small bit, or leading up to a big occasion, maybe a semi final or a quarter final. They seem to, but I think with the players they have, and with this will probably kick him on now. Probably not a great club championship,
mm-hmm.
but I think this win against Spa might put him into a front runner now.
They done enough in the club championship not to worry about relegation, so now they can have one run.
You look at the club teams that are in it. Crokes are kind of rebuilding, and Raleighs are missing a couple of players. So Dingle are probably looking at it and saying, we can give this a right shot. Everyone's talking about East Kerry, but you put East Kerry aside, you can worry about them when you draw them.
Yeah.
But I think clubs should be kind of driving on. I think you could see that now the weekend. Dingle are kind of in championship mode now at the moment.
And of course, Dingle and East Kerry have plenty old friends there. And rivalries. The other game, that group, obviously, John, East Kerry and Kieran O'Rahilly's. A huge scoreline in the end. But then again, Kieran O'Rahilly's, no Tommy Walsh, no Jack Savage. I mean, you really are taking two really strong people out of that. East Kerry, of course, with no David Clifford. But again, it's a monster of a score, isn't it?
Oh, it's a monster of a score, and you see the players. I suppose Rory Murphy was one of the guys that stood out at the weekend, mm-hmm. from Listry, 1-5. James O'Dunho, 1-4. Superb goal. It's their overall strength and depth. Paddy Clifford kicking 4 points, the usual work rate. They set down a marker at the weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't think it says how bad Cairns O'Rahilly's were. Mm-hmm. It says how superior East Kerry are.
Cairns O'Rahilly's weren't that bad. They did play well. I mean, David Moore, I thought, had an outstanding game inside. He scored 2 points. They were competitive, but they were just outgunned.
And there's no shame in defeat. As you said, David Morton did very well. A lot of their players played well, mm-hmm. but it's just the power of East Kerry, mm-hmm. and they're there to be beaten.
Mm-hmm.
Is there somebody there to beat them? On the evidence of this, whoever beats them will win the county championship.
Yeah. Surprising enough, everybody talks about East Kerry. We kind of never talk about Legion, but Legion have given them a lot of glue now. Jonathan Lyon, you have Gamel, they could put the goalkeeper Brian Kelly in goal and put Ryan up the field, and of course you have James O'Donoghue, who's he's a hard man to mark at any level, but when you have to mark six marquee forwards and he's just one of those six, most club teams and most divisional teams won't have players up to that level?
Not at all. And like Legion were a very good senior club. They just got caught. They went down to intermediate. You know, they're one of the favourites to win the intermediate. But look, when you put four or five of those guys into any team, you know, I mean, the signs are honestly, in fairness, they're superb footballers in their own right. Inter-county experience. James O, Johnson Ryan, Keane Gamble, Brian Kelly and goals. Yeah. These are all guys that have been there and done that on the biggest day of all.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're a huge addition to East Kerry. Yeah. You know, it's to continue that on. And, you know, Jerry O'Sullivan and the lads will have been disappointed maybe with last year. You know, they're the forum team this year. Yeah.
Lima, it's Gas East Kerry last year. They only scored 1-5 in the Championship.
That's right, yeah. and I do think losing Spa was a big, like, I think Spa had maybe 9 or 10 players off of the panel.
Yeah. You
know, that left, so they lost that bit of glue that they were on about there. With, yeah. But Legion are after offering them something now this year, all right. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a bit of a bite there now as well. To
everybody's talking about Rory Murphy. Every headline, Rory yeah. Murphy, Rory Murphy. I know him as a fantastic basketballer. I mean, I presume the Clarkin boys behind are saying, oh my God, we're probably going to miss Inhogan for the Super League if he was ever going there in the first place, himself and Sean O'Brien. 1-5 though, from play, a player that nobody kind of really spoke about before, and everybody kind of knows he's at a good level. He's under 20, of course. Is he one that Jack might be...
Oh, without a doubt. And I think he was on the radar really after the under 20 final. He got man a match in the under 20 county championship final. You know, so, and he's big, he's athletic, he can score as he proved the weekend. You know, oh yeah, without a doubt he'll be on Jack's radar. He mightn't feature, mm-hmm. because there seems to be a thing now where you have to kind of blood him in a small bit in training and stuff like that. But he's a guy that has the ability, like David Clifford and these guys, that could fit into a team very nicely because he has the football and he's a big strong man as well.
Yeah, William Hammer now, John. I suppose when the group stage came, he probably would have said maybe. I mean, William's very positive. He probably said he would win all three games. But the reality is that the next two games are winnable for Rahalies to get out of it. I mean, East Kerry is the game that you probably would have said, you know, probably not going to win it, or, you know, we'll do the best we can. Maybe we hold something back. How important is the next game now for Rahalies?
It's crucial. It's keeping them in the championship. It's a win or take all. They have to win that game. They have to win it. And, you know, like you said a few minutes ago there, they did a lot of things right. Mm-hmm. They came up against a very good side, to repeat it again. But, you know, it'll be easy to get those lads going. And, you know, the next game, that's the beauty about it. You have three matches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it was before, you were going into losers round. Difficult. But now you have two more games. If you win the second game, having lost the first, the third game is a huge game then. Mm-hmm. So they have to win it, you know. And I think it's very important that they do. And William Armour is an experienced campaigner, has done a great job with them. And this next week will be very important for Rahalies to get back on track and get a victory.
The only thing, Donald, do Rahalies and Temple now have their one eye on some other competition? No, is it something that's...
No, Liam, stop behaving yourself, will you? Get your comments into us, 0667123666, or text us on 083 300 3300, and we'll be discussing Group 3 and 4 with Liam and John.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry. From the sidelines to the stand. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now, welcome back to Terrace Talk, Donald Barry, and we're discussing all the championship games, of course, over the weekend. Plenty of scores. We've done two groups. We've two more to go. Donald, comment in there. Donald, can you please explain why Kerry J did not tweet score updates for any of the games during the week? I think this is beyond awful for supporters. I know they stream two games live, and I understand that maybe you don't tweet these scores for, but the other six games, this is surely basic. I could not find any details at all on the Mid Kerry game. Well, listen, or we'll discuss the Mid Kerry game there for you. It is something that's come up. There's a couple of comments in on that, tweeting the score lines, and I suppose it does kind of keep people there. John, just off the record, or off the record, as I say, off
the point. We won't tell anyone.
Off the point on that one. Attendances at the games, they're not massive, are they?
No, very disappointing. You know, particularly I thought the game on Friday night, Donald. Mm-hmm. You know, even yesterday, Memphis Shuttle Stadium again, but Friday night, you know, it was for a Tralee derby. You know, it was very slack.
It was set up for under lights Friday night after work, two teams in the town. I mean, the history of the one team, and I suppose the other team creating their own bit of history. Maybe because it was streamed, maybe did that take some away?
Or is it the fact that tis a, you have a group of four, there's three matches, it's not knockout.
It's not knockout,
coming
yeah.
today, I'm not so sure, but you know, the crowds overall were small by comparison to what we'd expect from a championship match.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, look, seeing that you were part of that small crowd, we might discuss that group. Nigel, started off 100 miles an hour, Nigel. I mean, after the first couple of minutes, you were saying, there's a game on here. But I suppose as the game went on, Austin Stacks were inevitable, that little bit better. They were champions, they were winners. They could even bring Kieran Donaghy off the bench with 10 minutes to go. They had forwards that could score. Did I read a stat there from Paul Brennan, the Kerry man or something, after the report where four Stacks forwards scored 9 points and no actual Nigel forward scored an actual point. Yeah. So I mean, like that's the balance. So what was your take on the game?
Yeah, I think Stack showed their experience. As you said, Nigel were very organised. They started well, got the goal, you know, and they certainly came out of the traps flying. But the experience, you know, I was looking down at with Liam. We were looking down at the Stack's management team. They didn't panic. You know, they just got into the game, and I think crucially Shane Callaghan and David Mannix played a huge role for them. I think particularly Shane O'Callaghan, he took a fantastic point before half time. You could actually see, like, it knocked the wind out of the sails in a gale, but you could see the confidence growing in the Stacks. Mannix kicked some great scores. Kieran Donaghy came on, showed his experience. You know, when they needed a score to settle things in the last couple of minutes, he won a great ball, popped it off, I think, to David Mannix, put it over the bar. I suppose the big talking point out of it was the injury to Joe O'Connor.
Yeah.
And look, I suppose from everyone in the county and from ourselves, we're hoping this is not serious.
Of course, yeah.
Because it's a big year for Joe as well. You know, he's made his mark last year to kick on now, and an injury like that, what looks like a serious injury, we hope it isn't. And we wish him a speedy recovery and to see him back in the playing fields again soon, because regardless what club they're from, we don't want to see any player losing out because of a serious injury.
Of course,
and you know, I think Jack O'Shea at centre back, he went off injured as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as serious, you know, hopefully. But Stacks got over the line, they'll be happy with that. But I suppose what happens down the road will depend on how serious their injuries are.
Mm-hmm. Liam, another team who I thought they were nearly over the line and back home in West Kerry, I mean, it was West Kerry against Mid Kerry. I mean, they ran up a massive lead. I mean, they were flying, really, really looked at value for money. And then, of course, a bit of a Corriman, we'll call him, scored a bit.
We're calling him more than a Corriman now.
Of course, that's Kieran Dinhy from Beaufort. He's still claiming his Corra roots. Very important goal. It kind of brought Mid Kerry back into it, and there was only one team in the second half in that game.
It did, and I suppose, look, Friday night inside in Tralee, myself and John inside, we were hearing that West Kerry were after doing they were after putting a bit of an effort in, and we were saying this is a game that could go anywhere anyway, and it kind of looked like that for a long time, because West Kerry got off to a fine start. They were up 1-8 to 4 points in the first half, and Mid Kerry in the second half was a kick 9 points to 1. No, so it was a game of two halves. Aino O'Connor kicked 6 points. No, he was a guy actually I forgot about that was playing with Mick Kerry, because he was always on South Kerry. Sure, he was a massive addition to him. Yeah, and Kieran Dinahy, who has really come on a lot. I think he'd be one guy to watch out for under 20s this year. Mm-hmm. I saw him with Beaufort playing in the intermediate, and his movement, he's just like he's dead for the people out there who remember Pat Dinahy. Played corner forward for Kerry, a Corra man, of course, but also his Jack Dinahy and Dennis and the whole lot from very good footballers. So it's in the blood. It's in the blood. There, I know the mom will probably be giving out now, but it's definitely in him. And I think he's a guy that we'll be all watching now throughout the championship.
Fair play. He's a lot cleaner than a Corra player, doesn't he?
I know the Corra boys are always nice, clean players. The forwards were anyway.
You wouldn't get too much off him. For West Kerry, I mean, how much of a setback is it? I mean, in their own heads, it's a game that they were in control of. I suppose, Liam, it's when you're up that much in a game and you lose a game, when you go off the field, do you feel kind of, oh God, we really threw that one away, or how is the feeling as a player?
Yeah, I suppose they will be disappointed, because that was a kind of a game that, well, I suppose when we were looking at the group, they'd be saying, right, this is probably playing for second position, because it would be saying Stacks would be the thing, so it kind of makes things awkward for them. But they should take a bit of heart out of it anyway, because we don't know who's, it's either Nigel or Stacks in the next game. They'd be hoping if they could get over Nigel and maybe going into the last game against Dex, it's kind of would be winner take all. But it kind of keeps that group kind of one to watch, because West Kerry they really are after improving. They've a lot of good players, you know. So the next two games that they're going to be playing will be very interesting.
Yeah, Mid Kerry kind of, they really have all pumps. I mean, every club Mid Kerry is with Mid Kerry. I mean. Yeah. This could be an outside bet. They could be a dark horse. They're well. So I mean, we'll say their goalkeeper as well. I mean, he had a fantastic game in
Sean Coffey
from Wofford as well. You know, and we're, of course, as we go through the year, we'll be picking out kind of players for players of the championship towards the end of the season. And of course, we'll be watching all these games. So I mean, I suppose it gives you an idea of how players are performing. But he certainly had an outstanding weekend in goal. And of course, then again, if you think about the only one by a couple of points. One of those went in, West Kerry had the game.
The one thing I always look at, Donal, it's like East Kerry, it's the clubs, the structures of the clubs, where they are in the county leagues and stuff like that. And if you look at Mid Kerry, the Beauforts, the Long Rangers, the Milltowns, the Glimbes, these guys, a lot of good footballers in them. And if you can gel them, you never know on any given day where they could end up.
John, taking that point, and it's interesting, of course, Liam, looking at the clubs and the way they've gone up. South Kerry put out a team yesterday, and I'm a South Kerry man, and we were surrounded by a few more South Kerry men and a few Shan Rangers kind of supporters, and a big shout out as well to a couple of others around us that were there yesterday. But South Kerry got kind of, their clubs got wiped out with the championship. I mean, they didn't. I mean, most of them are in relegation battles. Any club that did get out of the group lost the quarter final. Renard lost to Tarburton. You know, the Drummond and the Marys ended up kind of surviving each other out as well. And Waterford are down there, and Steam Derry and Nan are down there. How in the name of God did South Kerry get a draw yesterday?
It's all about the preparation, Donal, and we've spoken already, look, about West Kerry and about Shannon Rangers, the way they improved from other years. South Kerry, great management team in place under Sean O'Sullivan, Ronan Hussey and Dennis Shine. They were very organised. We saw them in the warm-up. You'll get a great gauge of how things are going when you see a team warming up. Very professional. You know, they were coming up against the Timpelnoe team, they were favourites. And it looked, Donal, with maybe 8 or 10 minutes to go, as if it was over. And I think then, Matthew Sullivan came out around the middle of the field, and he's a huge man. He threw his weight around in many ways, but he kicked a super pint from the far side of the stand.
It was some pint.
And, the reaction to the players towards it, and a man that caught my eye was Dylan Dunhoe, the corner forward.
Yeah, fabulous football.
He kicked super scores, in fairness, they were driven from grip by Graham O'Sullivan in the middle of the field. Finan Clifford inside his fullback. He had a tremendous battle with Killian Spillane.
Yeah.
And that's a man that deserves special praise, Killian Spillane.
He was
He's improved his ball winning ability. For the goal alone, the way he was being double marked.
Yeah, Conor Shea was after him as well. I mean, there was two on him really all through. Conor picked up a yellow as well for his troubles with him. But yeah, I mean, he wanted to win ball as well.
He wanted to win ball, and he won ball independent when he was inside in a cluster of players. Mm-hmm. His hands, he won it and pulled it down. He kicked scores.
Yeah. And he created the goal.
He created the goal, won it well, passed it off, and the cornerback, I think, finished it off. Was it Brian Crowley? Maybe a great finish, but. The turning point really was Killian Spillane, or was Adrian Spillane going off?
Yeah.
Maybe not. You wouldn't think he had a big influence in the game, but when he went off, we saw his loss, and also Sean Sheehan.
Yeah, Sean Sheehan, shoulder injury. They lost both midfielders very quickly. I mean, they were up 6 points. They lost both, so Kerry got back to two. They got back to one. Then it was pushed out to two, and they came back. Yeah, it's a huge draw for South Kerry. They'll be delighted. Hi, Donal. Good to see both Field Rangers and Shannon Rangers putting good performances. Hopefully, they can build on it. That's Charles. Surely, the standout point of the weekend, Reid Cowan Championship, was the lack of attendance at all matches. Could the admission fee be responsible? I think we discussed that, John, didn't we? I mean, it Fitzgerald Stadium yesterday. It was kind of. I suppose it's very funny. Like, I suppose a lot of people that were there yesterday couldn't get tickets to the All Ireland final.
That's right.
I'd love to know where all the other 30,000 Kerry fans were over the weekend. Because they seem to end up in Croke Park. But I mean, there does seem to be kind of a divide there. But the one thing that I would say is that anybody that was there yesterday was a true supporter, a real supporter, very knowledgeable supporter. I mean, I sat down beside a couple of them, and they could tell me who was who and who was where and how they were, and that's very important. The Sam Maguire visit to assist on Tuesday morning. And in Rail-Namara National School Force, where Jack O'Connor's son, Keen, is principal and carried by the pupils to the parish hall. It was an enjoyable occasion. Continued look to Kinmare Shamrocks and Temple Noah, our local club, to assist in celebrating 50 years on the 18th of November. And that's Dermot and Margaret Ann and to assist. And would you believe it, Dermot, Margaret Ann and to assist. One of your players was playing with South Kerry yesterday, so you should be supporting them now as well, Dermot, back there. Hi, Donal. East Kerry look very strong. Whatever happened to Owen Rua? Could the district not be split given their strength? Yeah, we might discuss that towards the end of it. Hi, lads. Dr. Crokes are the ones to watch. Nothing else to play for now. East Kerry are the strong favourites, and don't rule out the Killarney men. Absolutely. I know you can never rule out Dr. Crokes ever, could you, Liam? Do you know, they're a championship side, aren't they? Do you know, they can win games when they want
to. Any given day, Donal, anyone can, if they believe they can do it, yeah, and the players are there.
And the final comment. Well, Donal, I'm seriously worried about the future of Austin Stacks. Did not impress me at the weekend, and facing into a relegation game against Kinmare. We tend to forget it, don't we? I mean, they are the champions, but I mean, unless they get to the final, they're going to be facing off Kinmare, and one of them could be relegated. One of them will be relegated, obviously. But can you answer me this? Stacks would go to Brendan's board if they were relegated. Dear God, themselves and Mitchell's and the rest of them. Yeah, my answer would be, I would imagine, yes. But if Kinmare are relegated, will they play with East Kerry Juggernaut or South Kerry? Tom and Listowel, very valid points. Tom, I know
they go back into Kinmare.
They go back in, yeah. The Kinmare district will be resurrected, yeah. Tom. So don't worry, they won't be going to East Kerry, and or South Kerry is an awful long spin over there from Kinmare, Tom. But fair play to you, Tom. You comment in every week, and this is actually a very good question, lads. The other game in that group, Field Rangers topping it. Field Rangers were surprised, weren't they, Liam?
They were, and I suppose the surprise to me was probably your highlight, was this Martin Stack.
Yeah.
I know John might tell you more about him, but he came out of the blue. Did he end up top scorer the weekend? 11 points?
11 points.
11 points. Great kicking in a county championship match. I suppose St. Brendan's gone into it without the Nigel players. We said it at the start, you know, they were going to struggle. But look, they battle hard. They had 8 scorers on the sheet. You know, so they'll probably be looking forward to the next game to see what way they really are. But yeah, Field Rangers seem to be a team to probably that they'd be happy with what after this win, even though it was only a 2-point win at the same time. But
the manner of the win. Now, Brendan's obviously, John, I mean, like, they were making a right gallop, improving every year on the back of Nigel. I mean, they were missing 8 Nigel starters from last year. Like, no real team can sustain that many players as a loss. Now, you are building it up with other clubs, and Dahi Griffin was captain, and delighted to see him captain. He's a fine footballer with Ard Firth, and Donal Rooney is doing a massive job. I mean, it would have been easy to kind of maybe pull down the flag and pack the bag and head away. You know, he didn't. He stood his ground. And there's a lot of football to be played in 2 more games as well. St. Brendan's, you know, I mean, they look across. I mean, Temple Noah are kind of like, well, you know, at the start they were flying. Now with the draw, people are asking questions and whatnot. It's not done for Brendan's yet, though, is it?
No, it's not done for Brendan's yet. You know, there's great characters in that team, and they have great footballers. A huge blow for Nigel to be gone. Mm-hmm. You know, 7 or 8, and you're talking about 2 or 3 county players taking him out of that. That's a huge
backbone of a team.
It's the backbone of a team. But you know, it didn't surprise me with Field Rangers, Donald, coming back to them. When you see their management team on paper, Billy Lee's involved in there, you know, Indy Gallivan and John James Buckley, you know, guys that have been there and done that, they know all about preparing the team.
They're real championship people, aren't
they're
they?
They're championship people. And, you know, Martin Stack, he might be, people will be asking who is he today, but I'll tell you, when you're out in Arkery, you know Martin Stack, he's a left leg as good as anybody in the country. If he gets the ball on that, it's a white flag. And he missed out in my van there for a year or two, but they have a sprinkling of former Kerry miners involved in that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, Niall Collins, like, and Brian Sweeney, you know, and they're Jamie McVeigh. These are all very good footballers. They've given youth its fling, and they've win. Now, it's only one victory. Mm-hmm. Nobody will get carried away. But what a start. What a conference to be going back training this week after winning a game in the county championship.
The next game will probably tell us a lot about Field Rangers.
The next game will tell us a lot. Yeah. And, you know, we're looking for players to come out of it. And, you know, we spoke about Ronnie Murphy a while ago, and we're talking about Martin Stack. This is what the county championship was and should be. Is about new players coming on, and can they do it consistently?
Yeah, absolutely. And it does throw players, you know, I mean, I suppose the other side of the coin is that he's going to be well marked in the next game anyway, wherever he goes out with his left leg. John has given it all away on his poor My Van buddy up there. Lads, a couple of players that stood out, and I suppose normally we would go down the Kerry players and they played well and whatnot. Leave them aside. Liam, give me a couple of players who are maybe on the fringes of the Kerry panel, or fellas that kind of stood out, or fellas just had good games, you know, they might never be anywhere near the standard, but I mean, they had good championship games. Give the listeners a couple of names out there.
Yeah, just the Nigel guy that kind of...
And not fellas now that have Curragh mothers or fathers or that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'll start off with a non-Curragh fellas. So, but Jack Sheehan from Nigel, I thought he looked very busy the last day inside Conifford. He got the goal from...
Yeah.
You know, he was the guy that took the eye. Obviously, you know, you'd be kind of looking at guys for the Kerry jersey then as well. And, you know, I thought, like, young Kieran Dinehy and Rory Murphy, there are definitely two guys that we'll see in a green and gold, probably one with 20s and one with the seniors. As time goes on, and Dr. Crooks,
robbing all John's homework now.
Dr. Crooks. I think, look, we've seen him for underage. We've watched him with schools and stuff like that. I think Keane McMahon, and you know, there's a guy that was injured last day. I think I have a good time for him. Is Mark O'Shea? I think these are guys. They're young guys that, you know, they'll be very interested to watch their development.
Another basketballer.
Sorry, two. Yeah. I'd say, yeah. Well, Keane's sister's probably a better basketballer.
She's an international. Keane's good as well. Mark O'Shea basketball, Rory Murphy basketball, so it does help, absolutely. John, any non-basketballers out there that played well at the weekend?
Of course, one of the players of the weekend was Sean Coffey, the Meath Kerry keeper.
Yeah.
You know, he probably kept his team, got the victory for him, because
he made two or three fantastic saves.
I thought Patrick Clifford, the wing back for Templenagh yesterday.
Yes.
His athleticism.
Absolutely.
Attacking.
He's got fierce speed, hasn't he?
Fierce speed. Yeah. Got an injury a few years ago, I think a shoulder injury. Yeah. He was impressing at that stage. Maybe he was on the Kerry panel around that time. But a fantastic footballer. You know, one of the oldest, James O'Donoghue. What a display at the weekend again.
Yeah.
You know, I thought Dylan O'Donoghue, Conor Faber from Drummond.
And his other Drummond buddy, I think, played very well. Shane O'Connor, number four for South Kerry. I mean, he's something like Patrick Clifford, you know. Plenty speed, you know, and good ball retention. And that game, I suppose, we'll just go back to that game quickly. I mean, there were some fantastic scores kicked in it. I mean, it seemed to be, again, that was only played in first gear for long enough, and then but the score taking was super.
Oh, there were super points, and as we mentioned already, Matthew Sullivan's fantastic score. I think Dylan O'Donoghue kicked 5 points, you know. Darrow Sullivan kicked 2 from the other corner. But, you know, some fantastic individual performances. But overall, you know... that game in particular, South Kerry were dead and gone. It shows the spirit that's built up with the divisional team. They were 6 points down. They never said their attitude. They came back and, you know, got a worthy draw in the end.
Yeah, coming up after the break, of course, we have Christy Connell joining us. And of course, he'll talk South Kerry first. Two comments quickly, though, that we'll read. And I have one burning question that I have to ask. John's gave the questions, so I have to ask it. Donald, Kerry GAA have demanded all tickets are online due to safety concerns. Why is this that programmes are charged for cash? Surely this makes no sense. I don't think the programmes were charged for cash, to be honest with you. I definitely online, the tickets are online, and I met a few people yesterday. I suppose that debate is going to fall both ways. A lot of people telling me that they're 70 plus, they're widowers, they don't have access. Just going online is a bit of a nightmare for them. Maybe they can introduce maybe a tap thing at the gate, maybe going forward or whatever. But I do know my good buddy Thomas Kane, he certainly did have a bit of leeway with people coming in over the weekend for cash, but they're certainly going major on the line. Donald, it was great to see you in the crowd yesterday. It was easy to see you in the crowd yesterday, he says. Were you the only person sitting at the back? Yeah, absolutely. The crowd was tidy enough. We let you have that one. Donald, what a great show last week was. I really enjoyed listening to North Kerry Rangers players. What great young men we have. Do you think the older men of North Kerry might see a way in becoming one as well and finally push on, or does the panel think it would make no difference whatsoever? Oh my God, John. We kind of half answered that one, so we won't go into that debate because we're running out of time. The burning question, was Gart worth it, Liam?
Gart was good, Donald. Gart was good, yeah. And I think that's where all the 80,000 people were for the 3 nights.
I think there was probably an awful lot.
There was a lot of Kerry people up there Saturday night anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I met a guy yesterday and he says, for the fright of Christ, he says that Gart Brooks was going to be in Croke Park 5 times this year and he couldn't get a ticket to the All-Ireland.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
And you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk, Donald Barry, which on until 8 o'clock this evening. And of course, with loads of county championship football, that certainly is wet the type for next week. And we'll get those fixtures in. A few people looking for the fixtures, but we don't actually have them out yet. The CCC, which Christy Connell will tell you what that means in a second, they're meeting at 7:30 and they'll have all the the fixtures for you. Now, the Kingdom Greyhound Stadium will host Sam Maguire coming home on a Friday. Some night, anyway, that's what it is. And it's next Friday, 16, as part of the Kerry J fundraiser in aid of the Kerry team's training. The victorious team, of course, and Sam Maguire will be in attendance, as well as the Kerry senior hurling team, coming off the back of a very successful year as well, in which they reached the Joe McDonagh final. Now, to tell us a little bit more, I'm delighted to be joined by Christy O'Connell of Kerry J, Diane Jeffers of Jasmine, and Declan Dowling, of course, no stranger to the show at all, a man who knows his dogs, and of course, Kingdom Greyhound Stadium man as well. Christy, first of all, I suppose we've become accustomed to the whole kind of night of champions year in, year out and the whole lot, and it's great. But now we've Sam Maguire coming. So we waited for it, did we?
Yeah, that's true, Donald. Well, it started, the first night of champions was in 2010. And it has continued with the exception of the last 2 years, of course, due to COVID. Yeah, we built up a very special relationship, I suppose, that always existed. There's the Kerry Greyhound fraternity and the GA are very closely linked, traditionally always have been. So it's you know, it's a very suitable arrangement, and we have fallen in with the Kingdom Greyhound Stadium, and we appreciate very much, you know, that they're very nice people and very constructive people to deal with. So it has been, I suppose, to really what it is, it is a family occasion in which the Kerry team, hurlers and footballers, mingle. It is also, of course, a vital fundraiser for the county board, because to date we would have it would have realised in the region 700,000. Mm-hmm. And you know,
and that's all money that goes back into the teams and keeping them on the road. And obviously, the more successful you are, it's like a balance sheet. The more business you do, it's the more expensive it's going to be to run it.
Yeah, you know, the perfect, of course, John, the perfect example of that would last year, you know, you'd have got to accommodate a team. You'll be talking about a figure about 8,000 up in Dublin to thing, but which is now this year, it is expected up to 14,000. Yeah. And, you know, you have the footballers and the hurlers, everybody, you know, are treated well. I think it's one of the secrets of the success of the association here in Kerry is that everybody, every team is normally well taken care of. Mm-hmm. And we look forward to it. It's a very attractive night. As I said, it's a family night, and there are some wonderful prices mm-hmm. on offer. And all in all, we really look forward to it.
You're mad to give away the prizes, Christy. Mad to give away the prizes.
Well, yes, Donald, and as we're mentioning that, no, there isn't one free for everyone in the audience, but no, three sets of six tickets. We offer them, so Donald, if you'd like to give an offer to your listeners.
We'll hold on to them. Declan, talk to us about tonight. I mean, you've been running this. I mean, obviously, I mean, it's a huge attraction. People love going to the Kingdom Greyhound Stadium. You host every sort of event, from schools, the whole lot, mm-hmm. fundraisers, the whole lot. This is an annual one, and it's one, I suppose. Well, obviously with COVID, it's been gone, but it's coming back, I suppose, is the point I'm trying to make. But having the Kerry J players, Sam Maguire, it's a huge attraction, isn't it? And I mean, it's the racing is important, and obviously it will be hugely important, but Sam Maguire is very important, and it's a big draw, and that's what you're trying to get in. You're trying to make it a nice fun night as well.
Absolutely. And I suppose, look, as Christy said, there's a great connection between the Greyhound people and the football people, and the night itself is a great occasion for the kids of Kerry, who may not up to now have had a chance to meet up with the Kerry players. They're going to be there in the flesh on Friday night, and that'll be their chance to have a photograph taken with him. And we have a competition going on Friday night. It's the best dressed young Kerry supporter. Okay. And that'll be judged by David Clifford. So I'm expecting all
that's pressure now, isn't it?
That is pressure. And we'd like to thank David for coming on board to doing that. And that will be the one of the draws of the night, you know.
God, I might. So David Clifford's going to make one happy child happy, and going to make 9,000.
Well, there'll be two runner up prizes. So he'll have three of them. So I suppose the club championship is slightly different this year, Donald, in the sense that normally we'd have an event running up 3 weeks up to the event, but we're going to do it all on the one night, on Friday night. There, between clubs and divisional boards, there's 84 Brilliant. And we're having 12 races, which counts for 72. So we've paired a few. So there'll be a winner out of race 1, 2, 3, right up to 12. And after the 12th race, there'll be 12 winners. Yeah. The first one drawn out of that will receive the €1,000 plus a free fundraiser. Oh. Second will receive 500 and so on down along. So there's going to be 6 clubs that will come away with money on the night.
Yeah. And it's interesting you mention that, because I have Finola coming in at 7:30 and we're talking about how difficult it is for clubs to find money and keep themselves going. So here's a great opportunity to I won't say it's a free €1,000, but I mean they have a chance of winning.
Absolutely,
that.
Absolutely.
And it's for the club as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Hurling and football clubs?
Hurling and football. Every club.
Every club.
Every club.
And Kilmore, you'll have a couple of chances.
They will. And Arfurt and Ballyduff and all of them.
The fellas with the real dogs.
That's it.
Diane Jeffers, delighted to have you in studio. We won't talk football, but you are running something very important on that night as well. We're talking about the best dressed kid, but we also have other people that are best dressed.
Yes, Donald, so thank you. Jasmine has been delighted for the past number of years to be involved with the Kerry Supporters Club and the Kingdom Greyhound Stadium, and historically we have sponsored the Best Dressed Lady Prize. So we are sponsoring a €200 voucher for Jasmine Boutique to the Best Dressed Lady on the night. And then this year we've also decided to pick out a dapper gentleman, and Sean Hussey on Ash Street has very kindly sponsored a €150 voucher for the Best Dressed Man, which I will be judging for. So we're inviting all of the
no
ladies.
No pressure on you either, Diane.
Well, I always know what a good man looks like with a nice jacket, so there'll be no bother there. It will probably be harder to distinguish between the Best Dressed Ladies. We're inviting them to, you know, just don some nice family night out style. Dresses are always appreciated.
No Kerry jerseys for the ladies.
No Kerry jerseys. And it's not that formal in the sense that we won't be looking for people to have hats on like they're going horse racing or whatever, but just, you know, some real nice casual style, some midi dresses, you know, summer kind of.
I'm often wondered about the best dress, because it's that horse racing and the whole lot. I mean, it tends to be a huge element of fun as well. I mean, I won't say there's a circuit of people that follow themselves all around, but you know, there's the fun element of getting dressed up, I suppose, and seeing what Mary down the road is wearing or what Sheila's wearing or whatever. Do you get impressed by the amount of style or the amount of time, obviously, to put it all together? Or is it kind of you get to a situation where in your head you know what's good, or does somebody surprise you out of the blue and say, oh my God, she was absolutely fantastic, that's why she's winning?
Yeah, well, it's always nice for somebody just to come in and blow you away with their elegance and their style. And, you know, I always go for like a classic kind of a lady who has made some effort, but not, you know, a nice minimal amount of effort, that's just very classic and very gentle kind of fashion. So, yeah, that's what I would be looking for, somebody who kind of just impresses upon you with her, you know, instant glamour.
Super. The dapper gentleman. What's a dapper gentleman look like?
To me, a dapper gentleman.
You have two here, obviously, and I kind of just threw myself together, like, but you know.
Anybody who visits the Kingdom Greyhound Stadium will know that Declan Dowling is always immaculately dressed. So, you know, he sets the bar very high there. But I think for a night such as this, he would be wearing maybe a pair of jeans with a nice pair of shoes and a shirt and a jacket. But, you know, again, kind of smart, casual, with a little bit of flair.
So you're giving the secrets away now. So the whole of Kerry knows how to dress to win the best dressed
ladies.
Well,
if you're looking for the voucher for Sean Hussey's, you're definitely going to be wearing jeans and a jacket and a shirt.
And no club jersey. Christy, we're having a bit of fun, of course, about it, and we're kind of talking about the night itself. Like I said, it's very, very important. Talk to me about, you know, the connection that this gives the players to the supporters. I mean, we saw them obviously when they brought home Sam, and we saw them come down Dinny Street, and there's a bit of waving and the whole lot, and obviously there's great accessibility at club level as well where they get the autographs. But, you know, this is kind of one more of those events that there's a feel good factor about it, and I suppose if they haven't signed 9,000 autographs by now, they're going to sign a lot more the next night.
Yeah, you know, it's another opportunity, you know, in a very relaxed way of people meeting the players. And, like, what it means to this county, I mean, you'll have inside in the stadium the next night, the Sam Maguire Cup, the National League Cup and the Munster Cup. So it is an ideal opportunity for people to, you know, to get a chance to take a photograph or whatever with all three cups. And, you know, this year is unique in this sense. Look, this county's won 38 All-Irelands, but, you know, there was a gap there. And this was a very sweet All-Ireland. And, you know, the happenings within the county and the reaction clearly indicates that it meant so much to so many people. And one of the, you know, of the important things, I suppose, for any association is into the future. And, you know, the amount of young people that have, you know, followed this Kerry team Lily from day one is very encouraging for the future.
Mm-hmm. Declan, briefly, Friday evening, what time is all the action underway?
Yeah, the gates open at 6:30. The first race goes off at 7:45 of 12 races. We'll have music before racing and music upstairs after racing. There'll be another All-Ireland trophy there as well. Son Egan, who won the storytelling. Son will be in attendance.
Maybe telling stories?
Well, possibly. No better man to tell a few stories. Yeah, we've great entertainment throughout the night, and obviously our restaurant is opened, and people, if they want to sit down and have a meal while they're watching the racing,
brilliant.
They can contact us at the stadium.
Can I feel a load of people in the back seat of a car and driving from Waterville, Christy, and drive in? You won't be like the county board. You'll take cash on the gate, will you?
Well, no, that's Declan's problem, and what I just want to say is that we're indebted to our sponsors and supporters and clubs, and we have a couple of very good draws. Certainly, we have signed Kerry jerseys, Hurley and Slitter, and some absolutely beautiful hampers by Garvey's of Rock Street. Super value there, and the €100 draw as well. But we'd like to express to all our sponsors a very sincere thank you, and to anyone, to the clubs and everybody who has supported us, because without the support of an awful lot of people, you know, it couldn't materialise.
Yeah, absolutely. So say all of us. Look, time has beaten us. Best of luck, Diane.
Thank you, Donald.
If my wife doesn't win, I know what you look like now, so we'll be coming after you. Declan, if Kilmiley win, well, you know, they'll be coming after you. And Christy, if you make a lot of money, you won't be telling us, will you?
No.
it'll stay between yourself and Tom Kane. Well, look, the very best luck to you, and we certainly hope to see a lot of people down there. Donald, we are in the 21st century. Tickets are bought online is the way forward, like you mentioned earlier on. If people can buy an All-Ireland ticket online, they would have no problem getting online to buy it. And these Kerry supporters read a poor performance at the games. From my personal experience when speaking with patrons, the biggest issue for supporters is the booking online. Please speak for a few minutes on the topic. Thank you. Programs are always cash. I'm afraid this week they were all downloaded, but maybe at other games they were cash. And we'll finish. Fair play to Liam and John. I'll speak the truth and have a good eye for the game. Terrace Talk is a must after a week in the club actions. Thanks for all the hard work. PSSC, your producer Ivan Dunn, the Black and Amber in the Junior Hurling Championship. Fair play to him. Yeah, he did. Absolutely. He had a good win as well, and a good win over their town rivals.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, the Munster squad will travel to Cardiff Arms Park on Saturday night now to take on Cardiff in the opening round of the URC. It marks, I suppose, the end of the pre-season for Munster and back to competitive action once again. However, one man who remains on the injured list for a little while longer anyway is Castle Island's Jack Daly, and I'm delighted to have him on the line now for a little chat about rugby, I suppose the year ahead, and what is a very important season for him and the Munster side with a new man in charge and the whole lot. Jack, thanks first of all for taking the time out tonight here on Terrace Talk. We really appreciate it. Jack, is it strange to see the boys back in action and maybe you're just not there yet?
Yeah, definitely. I think I've been quite fortunate with injury previously that I haven't had to sit out a massive amount of time, but this time, yeah, it is frustrating rather than strange, I suppose, to be watching everyone out going out to train and you're fortunately not in that position, I guess. Yeah,
and you're watching them. The injury itself, I suppose, look, I know the injury itself, but for the listeners tonight, what's the nature of it and I suppose maybe the length of time that deemed with the injury that you have?
Yeah, so I've done, well, there isn't a lot I haven't done to my knee actually, unfortunately. So I've done my ACL, which is in the centre of your knee, MCL, which is on the inside, and I've done my meniscus on the outside as well. So it was just particularly nasty, and it actually required two surgeries. So I had one in mid-June, and I had the other one just a little over 3 weeks ago now. So in terms of return to play, it's kind of hard to say as of the moment. I'm hoping for in the region of 6 months from now, but obviously quite individual and kind of down to a bit of luck really as well.
My God, absolutely. You know your way around the operating table. I know how about on the rugby field at the moment.
Unfortunately.
How do you respond to that? I mean, you get the news, and I suppose equate it to a GA person. You get the news and you're injured for, I don't know, 2 weeks, or you have a bad shoulder injury, and you're put back in the current jersey and put back out to play or whatever. But, I mean, when somebody sits down and say, you know, the length of this journey is going to be 6 to 8 months, provided that you tick all the various boxes, What's the mindset there, Jack?
Good question. It's definitely a lot of shock at the start. Anyway, it's I was very emotional about it. I think I kind of knew when it happened that it wasn't good. I mean, if you see anyone getting carted off the field on the buggy or whatever it is, you know you're not in good shape. But
And obviously it's a lonely, because, you know, like you're in a team setting. I mean, I suppose at that moment everybody is concentrating on the game as such, and you're carted off on the buggy and off down the tunnel and the whole lot. And I suppose in a day or two you find out, God, this is going to take 4 months or 6 months or whatever it is. It's a lonely journey, I'd imagine. I mean, Andrew and RG, they're also on the injured list. Do you have some kind of camaraderie between them, that, you know, that you chat and talk to them and about injuries, or everybody very individual?
No, I wouldn't say. Well, everyone has their individual injuries, and that obviously leads into your own individual return from injury. But no, I'd be close to both of them. Probably Orgy more so, given that we've had pretty much identical injuries, unfortunately. So he can empathise a lot, obviously, with my situation, and I've asked him a lot for advice, just how to go about it, really, like, and how his mindset has been. Obviously, you know, he's been through it twice now, so you know, he knows how it goes. But no, we definitely support each other. It's not an easy process. Like, everyone obviously wants to be playing rugby, no one wants to be on the physio table for any length of time, but unfortunately that's the reality of the sport. So
It's the side of sport as well. People don't see on the television, so I suppose you go off the TV and people kind of say, "Are he's injured, he's over there." But we never kind of really empathise with the player that's actually injured. We'll say, "Oh, sure, he'll be back next week, or he'll be back in 4 weeks' time." But we don't know the journey that the player is going through. Jax, we'll go off all the negative stuff. That's kind of, my God, I mean, just depressing myself with injuries. We'll talk about something that wasn't negative. You made your European debut for Munster, of course, last year, I suppose, in the Champions Cup quarterfinal defeat to the French champions Toulouse, I suppose, in one of those kind of strangest of all kind of strange games. But just before you went on, I mean, you went on for Peter Mahoney, I suppose. What were the butterflies like? Or did you know prior to that so-and-so, if this happens, you're on? Or are you just sitting on the bench like an under-11 hoping that, please God, I might get a few minutes? What's it like? Well, take me through that process.
Yeah, it was the most nerve-wracking experience of my life, but equally it was very, very positive. It was incredible to make my debut, but in terms of the process, in terms of coming on and stuff, I wasn't really told during the week. I was told to cover two positions, so blind side and open side, which would have meant I would have likely had game time at some point, but as to where that is, it's kind of hard to say, and it's kind of hard for the coach in his situation to give you any promises, especially in a game like that, quarter final. You know, anything could happen, and literally anything did in that game, I guess. So
yeah, it was all
it was all over the place.
Yeah, the pace of the game. I mean, we're watching on television. We see the hits, and they're up front. And now I know you went through Castlisle, and you probably played Tralee a few times, or maybe Clarny and Westmunster and the whole lot. And it obviously goes all the way up along. What was the pace like of the game, particularly in your debut? You went out. Can you remember your first tackle? Can you remember your first hit, or did you miss a tackle? Maybe, I don't know. But can you remember your first play?
I can remember it quite clearly. It's definitely a step up again. I think some of it might be in your own head, but there's definitely, like, it definitely means more as competition. I think it's like going into championship in GA, really. It's the exact same. Like, it means more, so people do more, and are, you know, they're better players at that standard as well. So yeah, the pace is insanely quick. I mean, a lot of those guys are playing international level for France and stuff, so getting exposure to that was obviously very beneficial for me, but definitely an eye-opener in terms of the speed of decision-making and how people operate at that level.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, it's great to watch it. The game, of course, look, it, like I said, it was all over the place, was dramatic, and of course it ended in a draw, I suppose, really. Then the dreaded penalties, and that's something that people, I suppose, we're more accustomed to soccer and penalties, and I suppose we're getting more accustomed to kind of the J side of the world where a game ends and you have to play penalties and fellas will be for it and against it. But what's the feeling like with players on a rugby pitch, particularly their penalties and their kick from different distances and the whole lot? I mean, what's that like when you're watching? It's only the two kickers were doing it, wasn't it? So you're watching two fellas and you're saying, please God, go over the bar or whatever it is. Is that terribly hard on the kicker, or is this what they train for and this is their job?
I'd imagine it is quite hard on the kicker. I mean, I don't think anyone really prepares for that situation. I mean, like, it's only happened twice in the history of the Heineken Cup, like, mm-hmm. So I don't think anyone envisioned that it would happen, but it's very tough on the kickers. I think a lot of us didn't really, like, no one knew the procedure in terms of the rules if it went to such a situation. Like, we didn't know how many kickers there would be, or like where the kickers would start from, or like if everyone in the 15 would have to take a kick, which might have been interesting to watch. But yeah.
Would you have stepped up? Well, obviously
absolutely not.
Would you not? No. Have you ever kicked a penalty?
Have I ever kicked? That's good. I don't think I have. No, I don't think so.
Oh my God!
No, I've never.
All the way through, you've left some back at it, or forward. Come here. I mean, the game was lost 4-2. Of course. I mean, I suppose at the end of the day, it's your debut. I mean, that's a high. It ends in a draw. That's kind of a high as well, I'd imagine. It's Toulouse. It's big. Then you lose out on penalties with little enough control, I suppose, over it. What was the feeling at the camp kind of initially after? I would imagine disappointment, but do professional athletes take it a little bit different, or are you still kind of disappointed like the rest of us, or do you kind of compartmentalise all this and say, well, look, this is the way it was, if we'd done this and this it would be a different result, or are you just like this, the rest of us, you just go off the field and you say, God, that was whatever?
I'd say we're very much like anyone else. We're all human when it comes to these things. You know, you don't go out onto the pitch and go out there to lose, you know what I mean? You go out there to try and win the game, so to not have an emotional reaction and be, you know, devastated losing in that fashion was very, very hard for a lot of people to take. Mm-hmm. Especially for people who've been, you know, they've been at this competition for a while. You know, they desperately want to win and deserve to win these competitions, and it just hasn't happened, so you know, it's a competition we really want to win, so it needs to be looked at as such, so it's really,
it's gassed. I suppose at times we say, God, the players don't, whatever, you know, the supporters and whatever, but I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, the greatest disappointment is obviously for the players and with the players, and I presume it doesn't matter what level you're at or whatever. I mean, like you said, you're putting so much into it. It's the pinnacle of players' career for some of them, and like you said, some of them have been knocking on this door, I don't know how many times, and years, and the years catch up fairly quickly. But we'll be back to you, because I want to talk to you about your family, what it was like having your family with you, and I need you to settle a debate. Some guy asked me, is he a Dolly or a Daily?
Breaking down the weekend sporting action, this is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
There we go, back to Terrace Talk, Don Barry with you. On the line, of course, is Jack Daly, playing with Munster, not at the moment, of course, but trying to get back there. Jack, another part of that kind of rugby family is your own family, of course. They were all there on the day, were they? Did you bring loads of Curragh people, or a few Castle Island people, or did you have even people travel a little bit further?
So a lot of my family were there. Dad, unfortunately, wasn't. He was godfather to my niece on that day for her communion, so he didn't get to go, unfortunately, but almost everyone else was there, so
brilliant.
Yeah, that was it.
And what's it like? I mean, I presume they went supporting Munster, not knowing that this could be your moment, but
you know, I suppose they're always kind of maybe expecting or hoping or praying that God, poor Jack might get a few minutes here today. Did you discuss that with them before they left, kind of knowing they say, oh look Mom, I mightn't play today, do you know just whatever, don't get too excited, or do you get to a situation where they're just going to follow you all over the place?
I think it's very much a situation where they'll follow me all over the place, regardless if I play or not. I mean, the opportunity is always there that I might play. So I think if they miss that, they'd be gutted. So
yeah.
I think they'd follow me anywhere. I'd like to think so.
I'm sure they will. Well, I suppose you're giving them a good break at the moment anyway. Sure, you've already told them you'll be a couple of more rounds parked up, so they can stop. Of course, Castline, of course, is kind of where it all began. But you're from Corra. Are you from Corns, either or?
Corns.
Oh,
Corns.
Good man. A very separate part of the road, isn't it?
Yes, very separate. Yeah.
Obviously, the next question is going to lead on, and people are going to talk about what's in the water over there in Corra and blah blah, and all the famous names that played from that small little kind of hamlet. We had Liam Brosnan on earlier, of course, a proud Corra man. He claims credit for everything that comes out of Corra, football, basketball, everything. Are you aware of that when you're playing, or are you aware of that travelling up along the way when you're with your Munster under-18s and you go to 20s and people say, ah, one Kerry fella, oh, he must be from, oh, Corra, oh, there he is, he's from Corra, he must be related to Mick Galway, and he must be related to the Dials, and he must be related to all the other fellas that came out, Mas Keane, the whole lot. Or is it just something that's a side story, or is it something that you're quite conscious of and quite proud of?
No, it's definitely something I'm quite conscious and proud of. I think it's quite a cool legacy and a tradition, almost. Like, it wasn't something I intended on doing. I think I kind of stumbled into that legacy, I suppose, really. Like, I kind of just loved playing rugby and kind of ended up here. So that's the truth of it. I guess maybe when I retire and look back on it, I'll kind of realise the significance of it. But I guess it's kind of hard to appreciate at the time, but it's definitely, I like the idea that I'm part of something like that. Yeah,
it's kind of a cool club, really, isn't it? Like, without having a club, I mean, from all the players, go from Mas Keane to Mick Galway and all the rest inside, and of course JJ is there as well, in mm-hmm. that family as well, probably more known, and there's obviously plenty more of them there as well. Go back to where it began from. It's interesting because, I mean, obviously at the moment it's kind of rugby season. Eva Aragon back, Killarney are going back with their academies, Castle Island, obviously Tralee and Killarney, and even our buddies above Nebby Field as well. I mean, we kind of take them as part of Kerry people as well when it comes to rugby sense. Young players going back, when did it start for you? Who dropped you at the gate? Was it, obviously, I suppose, the gate over in Castle Island, but what was the attraction from day one?
I think I can very clearly remember watching Ireland win the Grand Slam in 2009, and I think I joined that year. I'm pretty sure. I think I was inspired by the likes of Brian O'Driscoll and Paul O'Connell and these guys, so I just wanted to give it a go. So that's very much where it started from. As for who dropped me at the gate, I don't know. Probably one of the two parents, obviously, but I haven't really looked back since then.
Your father didn't have a communion that day, like he could have done it maybe.
No, he found the time that day, thank God.
Yeah. There's a couple of nieces. To go through it, I suppose we'll go back to it. You made your way through Castle Island, obviously. Can you remember your first shout for Munster? Something said, this guy down here, he's got the Corra background, so that'll give him the passport straight away, but there's something about this kid. I mean, can you remember that kind of first conversation where some guy said, listen, there's Munster trials, or you're picked for the Munster under-18s, or can you remember that?
Yeah, I gotta say, I gotta be very thankful for Ray Gatson. He was my West Munster coach. God, I can't even remember what age I was when I first met him, but I think he always believed in me and always kind of pushed my case forward, and God, I really owe him a lot for that. I think I wouldn't be where I am without him, so I guess he would have pushed my name a lot throughout West Munster and then going into more collective trials under 18 in Munster and stuff like that, so mm-hmm. Yeah, that he's largely responsible for a lot of that. Obviously, there's a lot more people involved.
Yeah,
but
it's brilliant that you mention Ray, because Ray comes to our school once a week and he lines them all up, and he's still kind of playing all the games and training away with all the kids and all the next generations, because he certainly has put an awful lot of time into kind of developing, I suppose, younger players and children and the whole lot. So that's a good shout out, and I'll definitely say hello to Ray for you on that one. Let's get back to kind of the business end of it now, I suppose, at the moment. I mean, there's a new man in charge, Graham. He's come in, even though he was there kind of for the back end of last year. Does that change things with players, or does that change mindsets? A new coach comes in, is he kind of more the same in the sense that you follow, or can you see the little things that are changing along the way? And does that kind of put players maybe on their toes a little bit more, or maybe some players will say, yeah, absolutely, you know, this is the kind of coach I like, he might see me more often maybe, or is this the coach that mightn't see me at all? What do the players do to kind of impress a new manager, I suppose?
God, it's kind of hard for me to, comment on that because I haven't seen that much of training, but yeah. In terms of, there's definitely a different atmosphere around with a different coaching ticket. I think a lot of guys my age in particular hadn't experienced a different head coach other than Johan van Grant, so to have someone new come in was definitely refreshing, and especially the supporting staff in the tickets. I mean, Mike Prendergast coming from Racing, and Dennis Leamy, everyone's aware of what he's achieved in Munster and Ireland, so like the respect is there for those guys and their CVs and what they've done in the sport.
And they're, so, they're all Munster men coming home as well, aren't they?
Yes, Mike and Dennis have played for Munster, and obviously Dennis has gone on to play for Ireland as well. So there's a lot of weight behind those names, and obviously Graham is a very accomplished rugby player himself. So I think it does carry a lot of weight and influence.
It's an exciting time, of course. Look, Jack, all going well, you will be getting back, I suppose, out of the operating room or away from it as far as you can. Yourself and RG probably will be sharing stories for a small bit yet. We really hope to see you back, I suppose, training for it. I suppose, when you say you're back 6 months, is there a time where they say, yeah, Jack, you're not going to be back playing, but we want you to start running a few laps or doing a bit of gym work? Do you even have that kind of a pathway in front of you at the moment, or is it just we must wait and see?
No, yeah, so it's very much laid out for me now. I have a period of 3 months now where I have kind of built up the strength of my knee and like the kind of surrounding mechanism, and then after 3 months hopefully be back to some sort of running, and then from there it's kind of a slow build back until you're able to do like agility and change of direction and things like that. So that'll kind of be the biggest crucible within the next 3 months. If I get that right, then it should be a pretty smooth kind of return to play, but obviously, you know, it's critical and it has to work.
And answer the final burning question from one listener: are you a daily or a dolly?
I'm a daily.
Are you a daily? Right, okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're after ruining somebody's night now, Jack.
I don't know what I can say.
You're a daily, fair play to you. Listen, Jack, it was brilliant to catch up with you, and hopefully we'll catch up, baby. We won't leave as long as again, and we won't ask the family questions next time, and hopefully we'll have a bit more to talk about on the field. But look, from all of us here in Kerry, look, you're a rising star and a shining star, and we'd love to see you back on the field and continue that legacy with the whole of Curragh. And obviously, you see, I suppose Curragh is part of the Kerry ticket, because we can try in Dick Spring as well over in Tralee, and a couple of others as well, but it's great to see Kerry men go so far, and hopefully everything works out for you. And Jack, listen, we really appreciate you taking time out tonight to be honest on Terrace Talk, and listen, the very best of luck to you. That was Jack Daly.
Sure. From the sidelines to the stand, Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
No, that was Jack Daly, Curragh and Munster. An awful lot of people have been Curragh and Munster, but that's Jack Daly. He's the latest one, and we really wish him the very best of luck. Took some time off tonight to be with us, and we really appreciate that. Fantastic interview, and certainly it's one that you need to listen to on the podcast, and we will be, of course, up on the podcast probably Tuesday, Wednesday for sure. Ivan's over there. He's picking his fantasy football team, so hopefully he'll give me the nod. That's right, super job. Now, something totally different, and back to the GAA world. And of course, we were talking about it earlier, the struggles that rural clubs have. And I suppose we were talking about supporters and players and the whole lot. And it's one topic that kind of comes up kind of every now and again about a club that you know, I suppose the former club, that was a fantastic club, they were winning everything. And some people say, where are they gone? What club are they? And of course, the nice club that we're featuring is Finuig. And of course, anybody that would know Finuig from playing with Finuig certainly know they haven't gone away. But we're going to take a kind of a rude health look at them. And of course, they're trying to develop for their future as well. And they're doing an awful lot of new projects. And delighted to be joined by Bridget Liston. Super, thank God, fingers crossed there. She's the Finuig club secretary. She's the Peter Twist of Finuig. And of course, Jimmy Deehan, former All-Ireland winning captain, and we might be joined by one or two others later on, fingers crossed. So we'll take a look at it. So I suppose, Jimmy, I suppose we're delighted to have you. First of all, happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much. I'm 70 years of age now.
All of it?
Yeah, all of it. So
it's
an amazing age to be.
Yeah, yourself and Sean Kelly are 70 in the 1 year.
Sean Kelly.
He was there. He was 70 earlier this year.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a small bit ahead of you.
I'm shoving on, as they say.
Yeah. He didn't play cornerback as long as you did, anyway. So I suppose we'll give you that. Jimmy, we're talking about Finuig, and I'm going to start a conversation, I suppose, in an awful negative way. And don't hit me anyway, okay? Because I'm from South Kerry. We were kind of delicate back that stretch of the world. But looking through the team this week, there was no Finuig man in the first 15 of Field Rangers. And last week we had all the, I suppose, fantastic new crop of North Kerry minors that came through. I know there was Finuig players the year previous. He had a couple of them in goal and around. But again, none. I mean, what is happening kind of in rural Ireland that a club like Finuig, a rural club, I suppose, on the outskirts of Listowel, and you're kind of slowly falling off the map a small bit, even though you're not, but you're going to tell me what's going on and going right or what's happening?
Well, we're in transition at the moment. Mm-hmm. And we had a very successful, sustained period at the top in North Kerry football and even in Kerry football, where we went from junior champions to winning the All-Ireland Junior Championship, winning the intermediate, we won the intermediate Munster Championship, and then lost the All-Ireland intermediate final narrowly to a very good team from Tyrone. So since then, like, players, I suppose, are getting older and moving on. And we were quite competitive up to 2 years ago in the junior championship. There 2 years ago, we went to the quarter final and we lost out narrowly to Ballydunahoo. This was in 2020. And we lost in extra time to Desmond's in the North Kerry championship. We were up 4 points with a few minutes to go in normal time, and unfortunately they drew us and they won in extra time. So I wouldn't be alarmed. There are actually players in the Finuig senior team that would probably make Field Rangers or certainly be part of the panel, but you must remember that our football team is composed of hurlers as well. Mm-hmm. So they're dual players, and there's major pressure put on them, and I have wee sympathy for them, and I mean that sincerely. These lads, they have to play a hurling game maybe Friday evening or Saturday evening, and then play a football game Sunday evening, and if they get a knock in either one of the sports or the games, then they go out the following day without having recovered or going through the recovery phase. So I must say that they're very committed. They've been very unlucky in Division 5 this year. I think we lost 5 matches by a point in each game, but we're developing. We have some very good young players coming up, and we're relying on, like, the two Colledon brothers, who are major players, who are really top class players. They've been Morris and Pat, like, they've been extraordinary players, both hurling and football. And like, Lixnaw gives us most of our team, but also Finuig in the past have contributed to Lixnaw hurlers as well. The likes going back over the years. I played with Lixnaw myself years ago, until Mick O'Dwyer told me to give up hurling. He was inside one day. I was on the subs actually that day with Lixnaw, and he told me to give it up. You know, that was before he even took over the team.
You were dangerous enough without a hurling.
Well, maybe. Yeah. But anyway, then Joe Kelly was a great Lixnaw hurler, and then the Corridans in the Gallivan. We are continuing to supply some hurlers to Lixnaw as well. And we have a very good relationship with Lixnaw hurling team, because only for Lixnaw we wouldn't have a team in Finuig. Finuig is just a crossroad. But we have a massive tradition, Donald, going back right to the start of the GAA, the team that time was Aramore, and Aramore really is just the next townland. The Finnoog was a combination of Finnoog and St Sennans. So now you have Finnoog and St Sennans. That time you had Aramore. And Aramore went to two county finals. And they could have been the first Knockkerry team to win a county final. They were very unfortunate not to have won a county final. Then after that, Finnoog went hurling. In 1925, we were part of the first Knockkerry hurling board. And we played in the Knockkerry League. We didn't play in the county championship in hurling, but we played in the Knockkerry championship. And then in 1937, we went back to football. Now, there was, after Aramore, we had a Finnoog team, because I'm doing a history of the Finnoog club at the moment, and I noticed I got paper clippings saying there was a Finnoog football team at the start of the century. The 20th century, they're referred to as the Era Ogan in some reports. So, look, we were always steeped in Gaelic games, be it hurling or football. Then in 1937, we formed a football club. A man called Mickey MacDonald, he came out from Tralee, he used to come in all days to Finnoog and the Mitchells, and he bought a couple of footballs to Finnoog. And my father was very much involved in setting up the club that time. And then went to the final of the Knockkerry Championship when they drew with Ballydunahoo. They had a great Ballydunahoo team of Gus Crimmins, the Dowlands, the Finucans, so many more stars. They were playing with Shannon Rangers, who won the first county championship for Knockkerry. And Finnoog drew with them. Unfortunately, they lost the replay. And we continued on to be very competitive, but in the parish rule in 1953 introduced, and half of Finnoog village is in Listowel and half in Ixna, so we couldn't have a team for a number of years. But in 1961, then the county board, in their wisdom, they declared the Listowel side of Finnoog parish to be in Ixna for football purposes. And another famous place out there, Cuckoo Lane, which is across the river, also got an exemption. So then that enabled Finnoog to have a team. That's 1961.
It gave you enough land to survive, basically.
Absolutely. And my father at that time was the first chairperson of that. And that's where the present kind of team has come from, really, success level.
To people that don't know where these places are, in miles, how big? How many miles do you... Like, you don't have 14 miles up a mountain, obviously.
Ah, well,
it's a bit of a corner of a road, really.
But well, Finnoog itself is just a crossroad. Actually, back in the 19th century, there was about 400 people in Finnoog.
Yeah.
And that's documented in loose topographical dictionary. But now I would say there's probably about 100 people in Finnoog, the vicinity of Finnoog. So, but then we stretch back into Lixna village, which has doubled in population during actually the boom period in building. There were two major estates, three estates built in Lixna, even four actually, and one council estate. So we are drawn. We are benefiting from that now at this moment of time, from the building went on during the Celtic Tiger. So going back to your original question about where the team is at the moment, football is in a very healthy state in Finnoog. We have great prospects for the future, but we have to prepare for the future. And that's why we are here tonight to talk to you.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that future. Bridget, the secretary in any job is hard. I mean, people think, or you know, take a few notes on the way home, but since the mobile phone arrived, there's WhatsApp groups and there's all sorts of groups, and even Jimmy mentioned in there about kind of the parish rule and the various things, and you have to be up to date and so much stuff and the whole lot. Give us kind of a root health of the club, maybe the numbers that are playing under age, and I suppose we won't go into grades, because I mean grades after a while you level out, but the numbers that you have and the amount of teams that you have, and maybe the amalgamations that you might have to make with other clubs to facilitate football.
Currently we have nearly 200 juvenile players playing with us, and that range from under fives all the way up to minors. Unfortunately this year we only had four minors for our team, so we had to amalgamate with St. Sennans, which is our nearing club. So we actually asked our neighbouring club for permission to play for those, and so they joined them and they played football, and again they're being very successful in the championship at the moment. They've been playing away, unfortunately they lost now at the weekend, right?
Right.
But they
was,
have
was it strange to be shouting for St. Sennans?
It wasn't me, but I suppose we were such kind of a close-knit community. We know them all in it from the school.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's a big thing in the area as well, that with the schools, they're all friends in schools and they're sitting beside each other above in the classroom, and one is playing for Fanoog and one is playing for St. Sinan's above in the classroom as well. But it's just a healthy, I suppose, a healthy environment to have as well.
And of course, I suppose the word you put in there, unknowns to yourself, is playing. I mean, that's what we want. We want our kids to play. We want our sons or daughters to play with Fanoog, St. Sinan's or whatever. And that's what you must do, I suppose, in a club, to facilitate as many opportunities as you can, from under five to minor. And I suppose people will say, oh my God, you have to send four across the road or down the river. But at the end of the day,
they're
playing football. And that's what it is. And they're not owned by anybody. They're going to come home eventually. They're going to play senior or whatever with Finui. The under fives, go back to that grade. I mean, my God, I mean, under fives, there's fierce appetite for children to play. But obviously, to have all the children to play, you need coaches, you need volunteers, you need, I won't say kind of mothers and fathers who kind of might stay behind the wire, but you know, ones that are very, very supportive. Has Fanoog all that, or is that a struggle too?
We have. Oh, it's a struggle to find volunteers. Definitely it's a struggle to find volunteers. But we have been very lucky at the under structure with the under fives, we'll say, where we have got the parents in. They've all been Garda vetted, they've all done the training courses, they've come into the clubhouse, and John Dillon, our GDA, has put on the courses for them to be trained up in the coaching of the teams. So we are lucky in the sense, but again, we'll always welcome, and I'm going to put it on the air now, we'll always welcome more volunteers. Yeah. And if anyone has any couple of hours of the week that they can spare, just to please give a hand. Yeah.
And of course, just to put it out there, because I suppose my adopted club is Kilcommon, my other club is down South Kerry. You don't need a lot of time. I mean, like, if somebody can give you 2 hours every Saturday, you'd be happy with that, wouldn't you? I mean, in the old days, Jimmy probably put them all in the back seat of a car, all 24 of them, and drove them all over Kerry. Those days we can't do any more, Jimmy. You know, we're very, very safe now. But you're not looking for a lifetime commitment to help out a club. You're just looking for a couple of hours, maybe somebody even to make the tea, or somebody to maybe, I don't know, pick up the flags or put up the cones or something. So it's not a lifetime commitment, but it is a small bit of work.
It's a small bit of work, yeah, but I mean, we'll reap the benefits afterwards, like, you know, when you see all these players coming up and playing and staying with it and sticking with it and playing again. I suppose the important thing, playing football and playing a sport that they enjoy as well.
And to bounce onto that, Jimmy Dean, and we leave the old lads alone now, because the future is the future, and obviously the future is always the youth. And I mean, I always think that it's the pathway that you put for those youth will tell you whether you're successful 10 years down the line or not. Ye have some ambitious projects coming up to help the club.
Oh, well, we certainly have. And we have a very good playing pitch in Fanoog, and it's been used by colleges, by schools, by other clubs. It's playable when other pitches is not playable around the county and around North Kerry.
And that's valuable.
It's immensely valuable to schools. So this, what we are doing, is not just for Fanoog and for our juveniles, but it's for all of North Kerry and for the county as well. And even Munster College's games are played there occasionally. So the project is, we're purchasing land adjacent to the present field, and obviously we have to develop that into a proper juvenile pitch, and it'll be specially adapted posts, so on, the whole, I suppose, training equipment for underage groups. And I think at times when underage groups, juveniles, are playing in senior pitches, the goals are a certain height and whatever, there needs to be adoption just to suit, especially under fives. So that's part of it. But also, we are putting a new fence around the field and improving the general appearance of it. So there's, and of course, lights. We were the first team, probably the first club in Kerry, to have a floodlit pitch back in the 90s, one of them anyway. Those lights have served us well and has really helped us, I think, over the years in getting better results, because we could train over the winter there when other clubs hadn't that facility. And so the lights needs to be upgraded. So this is all part of the fundraising initiative that we're undertaking at this moment of time.
And we'll just put a small full stop there for a second. We'll take a break and come back. Interesting about the lights. I read an article from Mico the Wire, and he listens to the Stone there in Waterville, and good evening, Mico. You can be laughing out, Jimmy Dean, and all you want, but
he's my friend.
He's your friend. He's smiling away now, I'm sure. He wrote an article in 1981, and he was on about clubs and training and the whole lot. And the one thing he impressed in the whole thing was lights.
Yeah.
If you had lights, you could train any time of the day, night or whatever. If you didn't have lights, you weren't training. And he impressed that way back in 91.
Well, look, Mikko was a visionary, and it was just a pity that that he wasn't brought into it to become president of the G or whatever, because he was very player driven, and also obviously being a businessman as well, he saw the bigger picture. And from talking to him over the years, going to America with him, I went to America with him when I was going to college, and we became very good friends, you know. And but listen to him and now reflecting back on what Mikko was saying back 50 years ago, like, he was so visionary and how he saw the GA going, and also care of the players as well. Yeah, way before his time.
His old stuff is very fresh today as well, which is amazing. We're talking to Jimmy Deanan, of course, and Bridget Liston of Finuig GA Club, and we'll talk to them a little bit more about their fundraising and all that.
Breaking down the weekend sporting action, this is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. To Donal Barry here. Some comments. Very courageous of Jack to speak so openly about his injury. Shows grit and determination of a man to get through it and back into the squad. Yeah, absolutely. It was a fantastic interview there with Jack Daly. What a fantastic achievement for Castle Island men to be lining out in the Munster Red of Munster. We are a county that is surrounded in football every day, but it's great to see other sports make it to the top. It gives me great pride from being from this wonderful county. Hoping for a big year for Munster this year. The squad players deserve a bit of silverware after coming so close over the last few years. Sorry to hear about Jack's misfortune, but he sounds like a man who's itching to get back onto the playing field and winning again for Munster. Donal, I buy my ticket online every week, up to the turnstile, scan my ticket and off I go. I bought the Kerry inter-county tickets the same way this year. People would find anything to complain about. If we only had cash at the gate, there would be no online sales. People would be complaining as well. Lodge the whole cash into the bank account and buy it online and just forget the silly argument. We are here to enjoy football. And one last one before we go back to Jimmy and Bridget. Donal, I can't believe it's Monday. 7:30, there's no fixtures for the weekend games yet. Would that happen in any other county? Those fixtures should have been announced the day after the group draw was made. One home, one away, one neutral. It's not rocket science. Clubs and districts have planned ahead. Maybe they have family events at the grounds, etc., to get people in. They are given out about low attendances. How are people who work weekends meant to plan ahead and bring a family to a game when we have 3 or 4 days out and no fixtures? Well, there you go, Jimmy Dean. Aren't you lucky you're gone from politics? You just have to answer all those. It's a very good comment. Now, let's get on to the reason that we're here. Jimmy, obviously, to get all these, we need a bit of finance. We need a few bob. I presume you'll take it online or cash in anyway at all. Jimmy Dean, he'll take it off you, no bother. How are we meant to, or basically, what are we doing and what are we collecting?
We have a very, very high quality car in the raffle. It's worth €50,000, which is probably more expensive than maybe other cars that were on offer for successive raffles. So we hope to sell, you know, up to 5,000 tickets in order to make it profitable and viable. So it's going quite well, but obviously there's not much time left between this and October, so we would hope to sell as many tickets as possible. The more tickets that we can sell, the more that goes into the pitch, and the better facility that's there, not only for our own, but for the general good of Kerry football as well, and beyond, because we get West Limerick as well in there. And also, more importantly, Finucane and St Sinan's, they play together in ladies football, and at this moment of time they're in the county semi-final, and there is really a nursery for young ladies footballers, and that's one thing. Both clubs are working very closely together on ladies football, which is so important. Women in sport now is recognised for what it should be, and women are getting a fair crack at the whip.
I let you into a secret, Jimmy. They're talking about Finucane St Sinan's down in South Kerry, you know, as possible county champions at senior level.
Right.
Bridget, how
so
can
now,
we get
Bridget,
the tickets?
We can buy them from any of our club officers, and I can put up my details as well later on. Like, so from any of the officers, any Eamon Breen, Jimmy, any of the fundraising committee, but also by logging on to www.finuga.com. And again, it's a very easy process just to be able to buy your ticket online. They cost €25, and again, you get your receipt and everything back emailed to you.
Draw done, hopefully everything works out, money comes in. What's the new Finuga going to look like? with our big lights and our big field and the whole lot. I mean,
we want to look like, you know, the way a club should look like.
Yeah.
A professional, progressive, visionary, looking to the future. Also, the most important thing, Donald, is just looking after our players. And it's not just about winning, and I mean this sincerely. What I say to young fellas when I got re-involved again with Johnny Jai there with the minors a few years ago, and we were quite successful actually, but some of those minors unfortunately have drifted a bit. Hopefully we get them back in. What I was saying to the lads, look, at the end of the year, if you have met a few friends, if you can feel better than your shirt because of the training we've done with you, if your body image and self-esteem has improved, then that's a big achievement. So it's not all about winning whatsoever. Only one team can win, and I often tell young fellas, I have won 5 All-Ireland medals, 4 or 5 National League medals, Railway Cup medals, college medals, everything. And my mother used to store them all away. I haven't seen them since I won them. They're kind of, you know, they're not, when you get to 70, they're not that relevant. But what's really relevant are the friends you've made.
Absolutely.
And the experience you've had in that time. And look, that's coming from an old man now. And that message should go out to people. Because sometimes people are different, take a different view and put, you know, managers, coaches puts a lot of pressure on people and so on, but there is a broader vision, an ulterior kind of objective that people should look at as well.
Yeah, I'm from South Kerry. I was saying, Michael Filemore, we had a couple of run-ins with that Finnuig team on the way up through intermediate. Finnuig always struck me as a really passionate gang. You know, they'd arrive down in dribs and drabs and cars, and some of them would be late and all that, but once the jersey went on, they were a different outfit. You know, it was serious. How proud are you to be a Finnuig man, Jimmy Dinnan?
Oh, absolutely. And wherever I go, I'm a Finnuig man first, before even being a Kerry man, and then an Irish man. But when you look at Paul Gallivan, when you look at Eamon Fitzmaurice, when you look at Eamon Breen, Inda Gallivan won All-Ireland, the Cardins won All-Ireland, medals of Kerry, and even, you know, someone like Shane Conway, who's one of the greatest hurlers in the country, if he was in any other county, you know, he'd be winning All-Ireland medals. If he was in Limerick, he'd be on the Limerick team. But Shane is very proud to be a Lixnaw man and hurling and a Finnuig man in football. There is that pride, and that's what makes the GAA. Like, you have that connection that you may not have in other sports. That's what really is the big strong point of the GAA, that connection to parish. You know, and Con Hoolan often used that great, line from the Greek poet Kavaki: in the streets and in the fields where you were born and where you grew up, there's where you'll always live and there's where you will die. And it's the same going back to Gaelic football. If you're from a place, then that's your connection, and you'll always keep that connection. And if you play with the club, it even makes that connection stronger.
Absolutely. And you're hoping that you're going to make sure plenty more people play with Finnuig. Get out there and buy those tickets, support Finnuig GAA. Great small rural club. Very successful rural club as well, and hopefully the success will come around again. It's like Jimmy said, you know, it's not all about success, it's about the memories you make. There you go, you heard it in Terrace Talk. Jimmy Dean has 5 All-Ireland medals are in a box somewhere.
In a box somewhere.
My God. In a box somewhere. Well, funny enough, because we have another good character of yours on Wednesday evening, of course, Jenny Ian O'Connell, is Pat Spillane. And I'll get Ian to ask Pat Spillane where his medals are, because I'm sure...
Well, they're up in the bar inside.
Are they?
They're up in the bar. Not that well displayed, but I remember being in their bar when it was open, and they were up in kind of the bar in the corner of it, you know.
Sure. You might dust them down some evening and bring them in. Bridget, finally... if somebody wants to rock up next Saturday or Sunday morning, maybe not a member of the club yet, wants to help out, you can help them out, you can tell them what to do, where to go and all that.
Absolutely, I can, of course, yeah, just give us a call.
You'll have a big welcoming face and everything will be great. Absolutely, and you'll give them a job. Well, look, thanks very much, Finnuig GAA, delighted to have you on this evening. I think it's crucial that we highlight small rural clubs. The big guys can mind themselves, Jimmy.
And thank you, Donald and Radio Kerry, for giving us this opportunity. People don't rely realise the value of it, to be honest, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, it's great to be valuable. Terrasock has always been valuable. That was our show this evening. I want to thank Keane's on holidays. God, Ryan, give us a wave. It's Ryan who's in this evening. And Ivan, of course, was there on the desk as well. Thank Jack Daly. Great to have him online tonight. The boys at the start, talking football, Liam and John Kennedy, of course, from SD. Delighted to have them on board as well. And we will do it all again next week, please God, when we look at round two of the Garvey's Senior Football Championship. And of course, Jimmy Deanahan will be looking out for the Field Rangers there. And so you never know, maybe one of those Finnug fellas tonight might come back and play with him next week. That was our show. Thanks very much for listening.
Thanks very much.